Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light.
And welcome back into our new topic that we are exploring. So excited to dive into this one. And that is this topic of boundaries and consent. And we are joined today by Rosara, who is a boundary coach who helps people find and set their boundaries through subconscious reprogramming so that they can have connections that feel aligned. And we are really excited to explore this topic because what we're finding is that it's like the foundation of pretty much everything in our lives. We have there's boundaries that can be in place when it comes to relationships, when it comes to finances, when it comes to our work, how we spend our time, our sleep, our schedules. All of these things really lie on this bedrock of boundaries and consent, and especially in Tantra communities, play spaces, open relating, these words are really, really key and hot topics. So without further ado, we want to invite in Rosara. Welcome into this space. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited for this talk. The moment you guys were like, hey, do you want to do this? I was like, oh my God, yes, let's dive in. I'm free right now. I'm like, this topic is like, so dear to me, because just a few short years ago, I wasn't this boundary coach. Like, if you looked up the definition of people pleaser, you'd see my little face like, hey, that's me. And like, now you turn to assertive bad bitch and there I am. Like, you know, like the 360, just mind blow. And I'm so excited to have this topic with you guys. Do you guys have any questions for me right off the hop before we like jump in?
I mean, I have so many questions for you because I feel like boundaries has been the topic of my life. Like, not even knowing that, like coming from a space of being a kid and not knowing that boundaries existed, like didn't even know. I don't think the word was even in my consciousness to now being continuously initiated in it, like Elfina was saying, in all aspects of my life, like how we do one thing is how we do everything. So within that, my question to you is, how did you go from people pleaser, right, prioritizing other people's feelings, emotions, and energies, to being this like bad bitch? You know, like, what was the transition for you? Was there a specific point that catalyzed this? Was it a process for you? Was it an aha moment? Like, what did that look like?
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. So I'd love to share a little bit about my story. It was 2021. So literally just a few short years ago. I'm going to get super personal, super quick. So get ready, buckle up. I was taking care of my parents. My dad was diagnosed with cancer. My mom had just broken her leg. I have a 7-year-old. He was five, four at the time. I don't know. Can't do math right now. right. So he was a little bit younger and he's on the spectrum, as am I. We got neuro spicy brains here. And I was taking care of everyone at home. My husband was the one working. I was at home doing the thing, taking care of my parents. And it started to feel suffocating. I would see my parents and instead of like seeing them with like love and compassion, I felt a lot of anger and a lot of like, why does this fall on me? Why am I the one to have to do this? And even just thinking about it now, my eyes are getting watery. Like, it was a hard time. And I just remember feeling angry all the time. And that anger kind of pushed me into doing something different because I had no idea what boundaries were. I didn't know that I could say no. It always felt like I had no choice. You know, I come from a family of like immigrant parents who came here to give me the life that I have. And for a long time, I felt like I had to be this good girl to prove to them, to show them that their sacrifice was worth it, that I had to do everything by the book so that their sacrifice was worth it. And it made me feel like no one knew me. Like I wasn't, the person that I was in here wasn't out in the physical world. She was screaming inside, like, let me out. I want to say no. I want to do my own thing. I want to be more independent. I want to yell. And I wouldn't yell. And it was like someone would put a hand over my mouth and it was like this muffled screaming. And one day I was just sitting there crying on the floor, full on panic attack. My husband was like holding me. And he's like, what's going on? And I was like, I can't do this. Like, I don't know what to do. And he looked at me and he's like, well, what do you want to do? And my husband, God bless this man, because oh my goodness, he has always been like a very direct, no is no. And like, if he wants to do it, he will do it. And like, I look up to him because that is some badass shit to do, you know? So he said, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to tell my parents that I'll take care of them, but they got to do more things on their own. And he's like, then go say that. And I was like, oh, well, I can't just say that. Anyway, why not? And that conversation with me and my husband sitting on the bathroom floor, him holding me, tears streaming down my face, why not, changed my life. From there, I started to learn about boundaries, actively Googling, what the fuck is a boundary? Right? Like, what is this thing? Yeah, and following like all these mindset people and like looking up YouTube videos, and suddenly I was like information overload, right? But I'm the kind of person, when I like something, I love it. When I see something, I just go in. And so I dove off the deep end into the boundary world. I learned more about it. But all the learning was doing nothing to like change my life. I was just getting the information, absorbing the information. Until I was starting to feel a little better, you know, like, oh, learning this, doing that. And then it started to, that hate and anger and resentment started to, it was still here. So I started to implement what I actually learned, started saying no when I meant no, even if it felt really hard. Even if it made me cry, because then down the road, I was like, oh my God, it's not too scary saying no. People still love me, even if I say no. My worth is not based on all the yeses I give. And it just snowballed from there. I turned into a freaking boundary coach. I learned about subconscious reprogramming, how to like change your mind to see the world differently, to see possibilities that just allow you to take that hand off the mouth and yell. Right? And the girl in here came out. Yeah.
The queen came out.
Oh, gotta shake it out. That was
yeah. Out, babe. That was so beautiful and so moving. Like, my heart was directly connected to yours because this has been your life, right? Like, not even knowing that you had the capability to say no. And that was my upbringing too, right? Like, I grew up with an authoritative father, and it was like, you had to say yes. You had to agree. Like, your needs were secondary. And I love my father, don't get me wrong, but it was just, that was just the dynamic and the way of the times. And this, you know, the life that I chose to incarnate into. But yeah, like, it's an emotional process to move through the space to the point where you reach this point of like anger, breakdown and resentment, being like, there must be another way. And God bless your husband for just being like, you want to say it, just go say it. And you were like, wait, what? I can just say it? And you were like, how does that even look? What do I do? You know, so I guess what's coming up my after, again, like, thank you for your vulnerability. That was like touching. I was like moved to tears at one point. I was like, I really feel you. And I feel like so many of us share that story in different ways, right? In different shapes and forms. And we're just now, like within the space of the last 10 years, like Googling what a boundary is. And so my question is, because on your journey, you said that you were like getting all this information, right? But you weren't embodying it and living it. Like, how did you go from like gathering all of this information and resources to actually like saying no? Like, did you have specific tools, mentors? Like, what was that shift like for you? Because that's often the hardest part, right? It's just like getting out there and just saying like, actually, no, that doesn't work for me. And like, how did you know it was a no for you? Do you feel it in your body? Like, what's that connection shaped like for you?
So it was a little bit of everything, you know. I think for a lot of people, we are aware that we need boundaries. We are aware that something might be off in certain relationships, but it's like, how do we move from awareness to doing something different, right? And what I found was actually not on purpose. It was, I was looking for a business coach. I've been in the online space for a while. Before, I used to teach women how to use power tools. And like my favorite aspect of this was like helping them ditch the fear of like, you know, they're like, I'm too scared to use a power tool. And I'd be like, no, like, let's work through this. So the mindset stuff was always like my go-to thing, but I didn't realize it.
Wait, so, I love it. Sorry to like briefly interrupt, but I love that you used to teach women how to use power tools. That is so badass. And now you're just like also teaching individuals now how to use other power tools.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, you are the power tool queen. Anyway, I just had to share that, but please continue.
Damn, I'm about to copyright that power tool queen.
Babe. Power tools. Found your power tools.
Yes. That felt good. Yeah. Oh, now I'm like, what was I even saying? Oh, okay. So
sorry.
Yeah. So like, I love the mindset part of it. So I was looking for a business coach because I was like, this business is about to blow up. Right. And I found this woman who was, her name's Diana. She was showing coaches how to use subconscious reprogramming to like make more money in their business, how to, you know, live lives that are more aligned to who they are. And I was like, oh yeah, like I want some of that. And so I enrolled in her course. And what I didn't realize was she was asking like all these business questions and also these questions on like, well, what are you not doing in your life that you want to be doing? And it was at the same point in time where I was going through this journey. And it all just kind of clicked. Like, holy crap, I can do this. I can say no without this guilt and without this fear. And I went through like the process of being aware and then finding the thoughts that like kept me stuck. I'm not enough. I need to do more. No one loves me if I say no. All these thoughts that just kept me in this people-pleasing bubble. And it was like I popped the bubble and all these thoughts kind of drifted. And I started to reframe those thoughts. I am enough. People do love me when I say no. And it's not like, you know, you got a positive thing. No, some days I was feeling shitty. And it was like, people still love me when I say no, even when I'm having a bad day. Right? It was like believing that, knowing that it's true. And that changed everything. That started, I started to implement it so easily when I believed that my worth wasn't tied to everyone else because I give myself the worth. I'm not waiting for their validation. I'm not waiting for them to tell me like, you look good. I know I look fucking good. Even with my hair unwashed and my titties popping out, like I know I look good. I'm not waiting for them to tell me because my worth is my own.
Wow. I am enough even when I say no. Like, I am enough even when I say no. That is a power tool statement. Like, that's the strongest drill there is, right? Like, that's just going straight into the core of it. And I hear that when you uncovered this subconscious reprogramming tool, like that was the bridge that allowed you to go from taking this information to like embodying it to then be able to digest it and then share it with the world and the people around you.
100%. That was the tool. It completely changed my life. And, you know, in a way, I wasn't looking for it, but in a way, I was. And it was there right when I needed it. The universe was always providing, and I received it.
As it always does, right? It's like, how could you be a boundary coach had you not been initiated into the boundaryless space of your life, right? It's like God works in such mysterious ways. And he builds us to serve, right? I believe we are built by the universe, God, consciousness, whatever you call it, to serve. And that requires a lot of initiation and a lot of like discomfort and like a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm confused. But then there's the moments in the bathroom floor where it's just this aha moment, like where like things start to make sense and you're like, oh my God, this is like what I was built for. This is why I like have been to this extreme, why I've been to this shadow, to this like death portal, so I could understand and I could hold space with compassion and love in my heart because I've been through it.
It's like, go ahead.
I was just saying, aho, like, amen, like, hallelujah. Yeah, preach.
Yes.
I'm curious, like, with your type of work, what type of clients do you serve and what types of boundaries do you work with specifically?
Yeah. So I help people who identify as women, just because it's easier for me to relate. And a lot of them, I have worked with women who are in their 20s, women who are in their 50s, and like that age doesn't matter, right? But the one thing they have in common is that they are figuratively on that bathroom floor and they're like, someone give me a hand right now. And all I do is say, here, I'm extending my hand, join me, right? And a lot of these women, it's so crazy because when I started this journey, I didn't know I was autistic. And a lot of the women I help, they're either ADHD or they're also autistic or like some sort of neuro spiciness, right? And I'm like, my girl.
I love that word. I've never heard neuro spiciness before.
I love it too.
It's so good. I'm on my own journey with that now. I like had this revelation the other day where I was like, I think I'm neurodivergent. And I just started, my body started crying and I was like, oh my gosh, my whole life. You know,
yeah.
But I love neuro spicy. It definitely adds sass to it. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. So a lot of them are, you know, neurodivergent, neuro spicy. And we're just like, hey, it's okay. Bring the messy, shitty, crazy, wild things and let's walk through it. And I help them with their relationships. I see a lot of the women I help, a lot of family dynamic stuff. That's kind of the very first things we tackle because a lot of us struggle setting those boundaries with family, like the people closest to us. And then it's like friends and coworkers and right, people who are a little further down. But it's usually like we always start kind of like family or marriage relationships. Like that's the core that I'm helping them with their boundaries.
And what is like the first step? So someone that comes to you needs help with their boundaries in their marriage or with their parents. What's the first step and advice that you give them to feel more sovereign in that?
So a lot of times if they're just coming in, let's say they find me on Instagram and they're like, okay, like, yeah, I could relate to this. Sometimes, a lot of times, my audience isn't like, going to put themselves in my comments and be like, oh, I need help with this. Because these are private matters. And a lot of them are like, I don't want people to know that I'm unhappy. I don't want them to know that I'm resentful towards my spouse. I don't want them to know that I'm angry with my mom. Right. And so they'll send me a DM and they're like, hey, I saw this post and like it really resonated. And I just ask questions. How did it resonate? What did you like about it? What was your biggest takeaway? Because to me, to be of service is to just help people. I do not care if the person coming in is going to be in my coaching, if they're going to buy something, or if they're just always going to be following me, or if they're going to follow me one day and leave the next. As long as I know that in the moment, I'm going to heart to heart help them, you know?
That's really and,
tough. Yeah. Like, because I think in the online space, we see this a lot, like people cold DMing others like, oh, hey, I saw you liked my post. Do you want to buy my thing? And it's like, no, girl, like, you know, I don't want to be that person. So when they come to me and they're like, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I need help with this, I'm like, all right, like, let's talk it out. Let's work through it. And what ends up happening, they end up becoming my clients anyways. And I fucking love that for them and for me, right? So the first thing we work through once they are my clients is we work through like this unworthiness feeling that they hold on to. That is like the first stage. I call it, like in my program, I call it the unfuck your mindset modules.
Give me the best names.
Unfuck your mindset. Yeah. So juicy. I love it.
You know, I think a lot of people, when they come and they like see me, they're like, why are you cussing all the time? And I'm like, that's just who I am. But yeah, inside the Unfuck Your Mindset modules, we talk about that unworthiness that keeps showing up. And we kind of reframe that unworthiness so they can feel worthy. And that kind of sets the foundation moving forward to, like, once they start feeling like, ooh, I am the one who makes choices. I am the one who decides yes or no, not them, me. It gives them like this little boost. They stand up a little straighter. They're like walking a little taller. And that worthiness foundation just follows them through the rest of their journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes so much sense. Like, that's the core and the foundation of the work. Okay, I want to like get into the nitty gritty of this because I'm just curious. And like, we just opened up this topic. So if you're open to kind of like dive into some more structural stuff, like when I first checked out your page, there was I think it was the last post that you posted, and it was like, create boundaries with a friend without cutting them out. And it really hit me because I've seen a lot of people talk about boundaries, and I've never seen a post like that before. Because I think, like, oftentimes when people start to create boundaries, at least for me, I was scared that I was going to lose people, right? I was scared I was going to lose relationships, which is why I didn't even stand up for my no to begin with. And then when I started to stand up for my no, it was really sharp and kind of like very intense. Like, if you don't stop doing this, like, I'm going to cut you out of my life, or like, I'm going to break up with you, you know? And it kind of felt like there was like still resentment around it. So I would love for you to go into your process of how you walk clients through creating a boundary without cutting someone off and still carrying and keeping compassion. What does that look like?
Yeah, I love that question so much. So a lot of people go through this. They think when they set a boundary, it means putting up walls and pushing people out. They're like, in order for me to be safe and protected, I need to put up this wall. I need to like make sure no one can cross this thing. When in reality, that's the wall is not the boundary. The boundary is in here. Okay, so the boundary is inside of you, and people cannot take it from you. Okay, so let's say you want to set a boundary with a friend who always asks you for money. And every time they send you a message like, hey, girl, can I borrow $20? And you're like, oh my God, they're asking me for money again. And you don't know how to say no, because if you say no, it means you're a bad friend. At least that's what your mind is telling you, right? Thank you, bully brain mind, right? So you message them back, yeah, of course, I'll send it to you right now. Now you're in misalignment with what you wanted to do, which was say no, not let them borrow the money, but you're saying yes. So you're like mad at them because they keep asking. But that anger should be looked at differently. It's like, what can I do to be in alignment with my boundary? you can reply and say, hey girl, I have this boundary that I'm no longer letting friends borrow money. Right? And she replies back, but this is an emergency. I really need it. I understand and I'm sorry, but I'm being firm in this boundary. And they might be upset. They might stop talking to you for a few days. They might push themselves away. Your boundary did not push them away. Your boundary protected your need for financial stability in the moment. Your boundary did not push them away. They chose to walk away if they did. And if they didn't, they're going to come back the next day like, hey, can I borrow $20 again? And you reinforce that bad boy. Hey, like I told you, I have this new boundary that I'm not letting friends borrow money. That doesn't mean I don't love you, but I'm trying to be more financially responsible. And if they ask again, you reinforce it again. It's kind of like, have you guys ever been around like toddlers and they're sitting at a table and they're like kicking their feet and you're like, hey, don't put your feet on the table. And then they do it again. And you're like, if you need to move around, get off your chair, move around and then come sit back down. Right. And then they go, they do the thing and then they come back, they sit down. And now they're like, okay, I could do it. You have to kind of reinforce it a few times before it hits home.
That really, I love the compassion in that space because I feel like there's some sort of collective narrative that's like you tell an adult one time to do something and they're supposed to absorb it. You know, it's like, I already told you this. Why do I have to tell you again? And I've like experienced this so much in my life. And I think I've also held other people to that standard at different points in my life when I wasn't as compassionate. But it's like, if you look at it, we're still children of the universe. And if you look at a child and how long it takes them to walk, for example, or to learn a new skill, it takes multiple times in order to really like create that new neural pathway in the brain. So we get to be compassionate in this space. Like, hey, I already shared this, and like continue reiterating that. I guess my question is, when someone continuously crosses a boundary and is not getting it, then what do you do? Like if it's like the third or fourth time, like, hey, I've mentioned this four times, this boundary that I'm really firm with, and you're still bringing this to me again, like what would be the next step?
Yeah. So the next step would be when you first state your boundary, when you first state your boundary, add a consequence. So consequence is, what will I do if they do the thing? Mm-hmm. So you know this from the get-go about yourself, okay? Because you are going to learn how to trust your words to match your actions. The more you trust your words to match your actions, the more aligned you're going to feel in here and in the physical world, right? So you're going to say, I'm no longer letting friends borrow money. If you ask me for money again, I'm going to keep saying no, right? That could be, that simple thing could be the consequence. So if they keep asking, you're still going to say no. And of course, a lot of us are going to be like, why don't they get it, right? You can implement another consequence. And I always say, communicate these boundaries and consequences because people cannot read our minds. Always be communicating like, hey, I said I'm no longer going to let friends borrow money unless I deem it an emergency. That could be the consequence, right? Unless I deem it an emergency. This doesn't look like it's an emergency, so I'm not going to let you borrow money. And I'm just going with that example because I feel like it's a little kind of easy to, you know, to work with. But adding this consequence lets you know what you will do if it continues. And that could look like, hey, if this keeps happening, I'm going to block you on Instagram. If this keeps happening, I'm not going to answer your phone calls. And it might be a little petty, but maybe it's what you need in the moment. And remember, boundaries are not set in stone. We are always changing human people. Like what we say one day might not work 6 months down the line, right? And a lot of people are like, well, but if it was such a big boundary, why are you changing it? Because I change, because I grow, because I've learned, right? We can't let what other people's expectations of us keep us from doing what feels aligned in here, in our hearts. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And this is beautiful because it, just to touch on what you mentioned before, like A boundary is really an act of love. It's an act of love, number one, for yourself, of being like, I'm worthy of being honest and claiming my desires and protecting my truth. And I am loving enough of my friend or my family or whoever is in my life to also allow them to get clearer on potentially their truth. Like, I'm thinking around this financial boundary, right? Like, okay, that's loving yourself to be like, I don't need to continue draining my wallet to my friend who's not giving me the money back. And when I'm placing that boundary with my friend, it's a way of loving them too, because now I'm not enabling their misuse of money, because they're also, if they're continuously asking for money, then there's something that there's an area that they're reflecting that they're locking boundaries in. And that's something else I realized. It's like, if someone's not respecting my boundaries, then they probably don't have good boundaries themselves, and vice versa. So when I'm now putting up that boundary, I'm not going to give you that money. That's actually a way of saying, hey, I love you. And by me not giving you money, this is an opportunity for you to actually have better boundaries, financial boundaries for yourself. Which, if we continue to enable someone, then they're not really able to even understand and get to that place to put up that boundary for themselves.
Yeah. 100%. You said that beautifully. That was beautifully.
Yeah, that was a beautiful, like, beautiful reflection, Elfina. She's a poet. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful wordstress.
Yeah.
Something else that came up, like, as a woman, this concept of safety, right? Like, how we walk through the world and, like, men catcall us, or, like, you know, like, we'll be out at a club or we'll be out somewhere and, like, men just feel like they can just kind of grab us or touch us. And this just, like, came through really strong to share. Like, mm-hmm. how do you create boundaries in the moment with strangers, right? Like, please do not touch my body. Like, you don't have permission to do that. Or, like, but still holding compassion, right? Because obviously if someone's doing that, I believe they were never really taught compassionately to, like, respect other people's personal space. So, like, I'm not, like, saying, like, fuck off, you know, like, why did you do that? Like, I'm gonna punch you in the face. I feel like for me, there's this energy of being the feminine, like, womb of creation, and also, like, guiding and initiating these men to kind of, like, step up and handle these types of situations differently. So, like, what's your suggestion in a scenario like that?
Yeah, I love that. And I can actually, like, give you a few weeks ago, I went dancing with my girls, and this group of guys comes and they're, like, ready to grind off behind us. And we're all married with kids, right? We turn around and we're like, my friends looked at me like, are you going to tell them to stop?
You're the boundary coach, you go.
Yeah, they looked at me and I was all like, oh, hey guys, we're having a girls' day and we just want to dance by ourselves. Hope you guys understand. And they were like, oh, have fun, ladies. And they left. Right? Like, sometimes that's all it takes. And other times when, like you said, some people who don't have an understanding of boundaries, they might respond like, what, are you serious? Well, if you're having a girls' night, have some fun with us. Right? They might, like, completely take it the other way. And that's when you're like, you have to know your own boundaries. Like, hey, I already said we're not dancing with any guys. Like, I hope you guys find some beautiful women to dance with if they want to, or you guys should have a lot of fun and have a boys' night and dance with each other too. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's just like, sometimes adding a little bit more context is needed, especially when you're, like, in an unfamiliar or unsafe situation. I think a lot of times when you're with people who are kind of closer to you, you can set stronger boundaries and you're like, you know, my no means no. And you just kind of have to take it. And other times it's like adding that context, like, hey, this is a girls' day. We're going to dance with each other. Just that little bit of context, kind of people will be like, oh, okay, I get it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also very compassionate to let them know, like, this is what's going on and we're here to have a good time. You guys could back up. Right. Yeah, I think, sorry, I'm fiddling with stuff over here. I think it just kind of depends on the situation, but always knowing that your boundaries, that you have to remain safe, right? So sometimes adding that context will keep you safe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. That makes so much sense. Yeah, I think that also brings the compassion into the space as well. And we've spoken so much about that. Like, and I believe that's kind of your niche and what I feel like what sets you apart from other boundary coaches, you know, and everyone has their angle. And I feel like you bring a lot of like compassion and patience to the space of your work, which I feel really grateful for, because my thing has also been like, wow, I kind of feel like a bitch when I'm creating this boundary. And it's because it was sharp, like initially, you know, the information I was receiving around boundaries was like, do this, cut this off, do, you know, it was like kind of like the samurai sword. And so I feel really grateful to be having this like softer approach while still loving and radically taking care of myself. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I didn't even realize that's what I was doing, but I'm receiving that fully. Thank you.
Happy to.
I have a juicy question. So connecting to like relationship dynamics, boundaries and relationships, whether it's romantic relationships, marriages, friendships. I am wondering, like, what is the biggest, I don't know, like blockage or obstacle that you find your clients have when it comes to asserting and sharing? I know you mentioned like this feeling of unworthiness, but beyond that, like maybe when they try to assert their boundaries in relationships, dynamics, like what are the common problems that arise? And how do you help people to really move into a space of feeling really confident and embodied in their boundaries where they're having successful relationship boundaries?
Okay. Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. So I think a lot of times when we first start setting these boundaries, we feel like other people need to change. Other people need to do the thing that I'm telling them to do. And that's like the biggest misconception, because if you're always expecting them to stop yelling when you speak, you might be waiting forever. But if you're like, I'm someone who doesn't allow to be, or someone who will not allow yelling in conversation, I'm going to get up and say, let's take 5 minutes until we can come back and communicate safely. Right? Because if you're waiting for them to do your boundary, you might always be waiting. But if you put it to yourself, like, I am the one who gets to decide when this boundary is upheld. I am the one who gets to decide that it stops here. I can walk away. I can say no. I do have choices. Those choices, even if they are making your pit sweat and your palms are sweaty, they might be the best choice for you, right? And it's just knowing you have choices. And when you do this enough, your partner or whoever, they're going to be like, wow. And if they are someone who maybe right now they're not respecting you all the way, maybe right now they don't know about boundaries either, when they see you stick to your word and do what you say you're going to do, they are going to want to mimic that as well. You know, as humans, we like to see, like, I guess the alpha, right? And they're like, oh, wow, they're doing something that they didn't do before. And they kind of start to mimic that too. And I saw this personally, like with my parents. They had, you know, they grew up in Mexico and they came to America. They didn't know anything about like American culture, and they were here. And boundaries wasn't like what they needed. They were just surviving, right? So growing up, like me growing up, no idea what boundaries are. But when I started this journey, they saw that. And now I hear them. They're not gossiping about their friends like they used to. I still take care of them. They're beautiful, wonderful, and I love them so much. And their growth, amazing. But, you know, they're not gossiping about their friends like they used to. They're asking for help when they need it instead of just expecting people to help them. They're doing things that they didn't do before, even though it's been 60 plus years that they had been doing things this way. just because they saw me and my husband and now even my kids start to respect ourselves, start to say no when we mean no, and start to just really embody that. And it kind of like does this domino effect where like suddenly the people you're around, they're also being this way, right? And if they're not, you get to make that choice. Do I want to move somewhere else? Do I want to have different relationships? You get to decide and you get to move because, again, we have choices.
Yeah. And this goes back to boundaries are love. They're acts of love. And the more you love and respect yourself, then it has that domino effect where people are seeing, wow, Rosara is really loving and respecting herself. Like, I want to love and respect her more. And I want to love and respect myself more. And it like calls people up. It calls people up into their integrity and their truth and their just being more respectful. Yeah. Respectful relating.
Yeah, I'd love to like jump into that. I just, what you just shared about the process with your family and how it's transformed the relationship that you've had with them, and you also see them responding differently to the world. I just connected to a similar situation. Like I, as of last year, about a year ago, I started implementing boundaries with my family, specifically with my mom, and our relationship has completely transformed. And for the first time, I actually really felt excited to come back home. Like, there was always a little bit of excitement, but there was also fear, and there was like resentment and a bit of anger and like, oh, I don't want to go. And now I realize it was just because of like my porous and loose boundaries. And, you know, I'm still like regularly implementing them with her. Like, recently she started talking negatively about someone she knows. And immediately I was like, okay, this doesn't feel good in my body. And I was like, hey mom, I'm not available to hear you talk down on your friends. I don't have space for it. And I love you. And she was like, oh, okay. And she just kind of like processed it. And then she changed the subject. And I was like, wow, this is giving her the opportunity to completely transform her life too, by me honoring where I am and taking care of my heart. It's almost like taking care of her heart in a way that she wasn't taught how to. And so anyway, yeah, I just want to speak it and how transformative it is to begin to implement these and how important your work is on this planet and how grateful I am that you're holding the torch for this.
I'm going to cry. Thank you. Yeah. And thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of us have very similar relationships with our parents. And when we start to uphold those boundaries, like you said, it gives them the opportunity for growth and to see things differently, to look at different possibilities. Right. And that's where growth happens.
I'm just seeing this like image of this doorway that keeps getting opened. And it's like, if you don't uphold this boundary, you just keep walking through the same doorway over and over and over again, and then you're finally like, no, I'm gonna make a boundary, I'm gonna shut this door now, and I'm gonna lock it, and you can't go through this door anymore. And at the beginning you're like, but I want to go through this door, this is the door I always go through, it's just like frustrating. But then you're like, oh wait, you look around, you're like, oh, there's another door over there, oh, and think about going through that door. And then now all of a sudden you're able to rewire your brain, your actions, like everything that is you're into with mindset coaching, and you're able to have a completely new approach.
I love that analogy. That is so good. Yeah.
And I want to give you the space, because we're wrapping up here shortly, but I want to just give you this platform to share, you know, anything else that you really feel like is important to share around boundaries, and maybe what you found to be the most beneficial like byproduct of practicing boundaries, like how that's benefited your life and those that you work with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome. I would just love to share this before we go. It's a simple little like thing. I call it the APA method. I literally just made it up one day because it was what I was doing. And it was like A, awareness, P, pause, and A, action. And it was just like, okay, I'm aware that something is a little off right now. I'm going to pause and tune into my body. What's it telling me? Where do I feel that? Is it here? Is I'm pointing to my head for those of you listening. Is it here? Is it in my throat? Is it in the pit of my stomach? And that, what I feel, what emotion would I name it if I just had to name it? Maybe you feel it in your throat, anxiety. Maybe you feel it in the pit of your stomach, fear, right? Whatever it is, it's there and it's okay. And then A, action. What do I want to feel moving forward? What is it that I want to do moving forward when I feel that emotion in my body? Right? So that it's just like this simple little tool that you can do at any moment in time to tune into your body and say, oh, I'm feeling a little scared right now. What does this mean? And what do I want to do? Right? And it kind of gives you this like little shift, this little change in momentum to align yourself and to do something that you don't normally do. So instead of just blurting out, yeah, of course I'll help you with that, you're like, oh, I'm feeling a little nervous, but I don't want to feel nervous around this person. I want to feel happy when I see them. Like, hey, I actually can't do that. And it just gives your brain a new neural pathway to take and just kind of this quick little boost of serotonin, this quick little, yes, I'm aligned here, right? So.
That's I love that so much. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to be using that one for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, giving ourselves time and grace, right? Not like not feeling like we have to respond right away, I feel like is so important in the space of boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's really important to speak into because mm-hmm. like there's this like immediate feedback loop when we're in conversation with people, but like we have the right to say, I actually need some time to feel into that. I'll get back to you. You know, and maybe that you'll feel like an hour is good. Maybe you don't have a specific time, but like we don't have to respond right away to people. And I feel like that APA really process of the APA really illuminated that. Like, take a breath, feel into your body, feel if it's fully aligned. Like, you don't owe anyone anything. You owe yourself everything. So thank you for that, for sharing that tool. I'm totally putting that on the belt. The yes. power tool, the power tool belt.
Yeah. Girl. And what are the benefits of boundaries? Like, I mean, I know it can be overwhelming, can feel overwhelming or hard and difficult. So I just want to like bridge this with like, what's the pot of gold at the other side of the boundary rainbow that we get to benefit from when we use these?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people don't realize this, but when we are like people pleasing in our day-to-day lives, it takes a big toll. We know that. But what we don't realize is that when we start to prioritize ourselves, when we start to set these boundaries, things that we didn't even think were possible become possible. Mm-hmm. For example, when I first started this, I'm a big girl, okay? I'm a little bit chunky. I'm a little bit curvy in all the right places. But I was heavier, right? And when I started this, I lost 15 pounds in 3 months. After like years of gaining after I had my first son. And this was a direct byproduct of like finally prioritizing myself, finally drinking enough water, finally moving my body, finally feeling sexy enough to move my body, right? And then, oh man, I think the biggest blessing that has come from me setting boundaries is my marriage. At that point, my husband in 2021, when I was on the floor crying, my husband was my rock in that moment, but I also felt a lot of resentment and hate towards him. And so it went from like, I'm feeling all this to now I see him and I'm lusting after him. And I'm like, yo, put the kids in the other room and let's go. You know?
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Yes. And it's like the way I perceive who I am, my body, my physical being, it has completely changed now that I started setting boundaries. Because mm-hmm. I could look at myself in the mirror and I can smile and I could be like, damn, girl, yes. And before that wasn't the case. And I think a lot of times we think like, oh, if I set boundaries, that this is not going to happen. But it's like, no, so many little transformations are going to happen. You're going to lose the weight. You're going to feel sexy about yourself. You're going to lust after your partner. You know, you're going to have that connection with your mom again. Or you're going to remove yourself from the toxicity and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ooh, full body chills.
I'm almost feeling like it's like a way to patch all the leaky energy in our life. Like wherever there's a leak, we can create a boundary and patch those holes so that our ship can just more effortlessly sail across the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been such a treat having you join us and just share your integrated wisdom and experiences. And you're just rosy, like even just your disposition, your little fairy wing chair, your cute little rosy cheeks, and just your aura. It's like just so inspiring to see that like boundaries don't have to be like coming from this scary, dominating, assertive energy at all. Like to me, you're the epitome of so sweet and compassionate and kind and like nurturing, but also so like badass and strong and clear and direct. And that's really inspiring. I know Heather probably resonates with this, just inspiring me of like understanding boundaries in a whole new way. And I know this conversation is going to really benefit and touch those that are listening and watching.
Thank you. Oh, I'm choking up. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys giving me the space to share and to just be here. So, thank you.
You honestly have like a mountain shaped heart. It's just like so like big and beautiful and touching. And yeah, just to piggyback on Alfina, like super grateful to have this conversation with you. And it's like dropped me right into my heart and into my body and completely transformed the way that I had been looking at boundaries. And now like they're in my heart, right? It's not like this, like, oh, I'm scared, I'm going to protect myself, I'm getting defensive. Like they're really dropped in, and it just feels like they exist now in a different place after experiencing your codes, you know, like we all have codes and you just drop some codes in here.
Yeah.
I would love.
Oh, yeah. Just like something I'm really like marinating on is like boundaries isn't like me trying to control another person. It's me pulling back my leaky energy and being like, I love myself enough to have this boundary. And it's more of like this leaning back energy versus like a coming at you energy. And that's, I think, the biggest realization shift that I'm getting from this conversation. It's really not about anyone else but ourselves. And whether other people respect those boundaries or not, that's not in our control. Like we are responsible for sharing our boundaries, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels, and that feels really back. Good.
Yeah, it feels really leaned back. Like I can see that in you too, Alfina. Like, and I know we've talked about this, we've experienced it, and like boundaries were like an aggression tactic at one point, because like I had been, I had crossed my own personal boundaries for so long that like I was angry. I was confused. I was resentful. And so like I was on attack mode. And now it's just like settling into the space of like, this just is what it is. It has nothing to do with you and everything to do with me. And I love you. And I'm going to stand for myself no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love myself above all else. And like, that is my commitment, my lifetime commitment. Lifetime's
Mic.
Commitment.
Mic drop.
Yeah, perfect. There's nothing drop. For me to add. That was beautiful.
No, there is one thing for you to add. How can people connect with you and work with you? What do you have going on in your professional world that if people listening want to do a deep dive and continue doing this so important work that is life transformative, how can they connect with you?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so you guys could find me on Instagram. It's at RosaraToon. Weird spelling, but I know the ladies will drop it in the show notes, so you guys are good. And right now, I'm currently opening up my coaching program. It's called Pleaser to Powerful, because at the end of this, you will be this powerful, badass, kind-hearted, and assertive duality. Both exist within you.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now that is currently open for enrollment, and it's ongoing coaching. We have beautiful women in there who are on this journey, and you know, we get together and we work through subconscious reprogramming. I help them release those beliefs that keep them thinking they're not enough to feeling and embodying enoughness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I feel like it's my sole purpose to do this work.
Mm-hmm. This is such massive work that you're doing for the collective. It's such a huge, deep subconscious wound, especially in the feminine. So thank you for the work that you're doing. It's so needed on the planet at this time. So we will, drop all this information in the show notes for you to connect with Rosara. And thank you, each and every one of you, for making this show possible, for being here with us, being part of this conversation, this community. We wouldn't be here without you. So thank you. And if you really enjoyed this conversation, we would encourage a like, a share, replying, feedback, questions for us, for Rosara. It really helps to keep the momentum going and this show to keep gaining momentum and expanding so we can continue to bring on amazing guests like Rosara. Thank you again for tuning in. And you can catch this full replay and other amazing, juicy episodes on our Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts under Taboo Talks. You can also follow us at Cis Society World on Instagram, and tune in for these weekly conversations.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you.
That was so good.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.